Will you turn with me this morning to the book of Psalms, Psalm 119 and verse 59. We can still take this thought in to our society and to the traditions of the time with a New Year resolution and such like. Well, here the psalmist gives us what he considers to be the best way of starting a new year and fulfilling that traditional aspect of life in our society today. Psalm 119 and verse 59. I thought on my ways and turned my feet to thy testimonies. That's the principle that the psalmist gives for us, and the way in which he is looking at and assessing his life. And from a reading this morning in Luke's Gospel chapter 15, we read there the very familiar words which implement this same principle and give us an example to follow, that of the prodigal son, the one who wanted to go away and escape all the influences of things religious and get away from home and get away from family, get away from anything that would smack of these things, go his own way and do his own thing. And he thought that gathering all the inheritance he had, that going out on that path and indulging every whim that he had, that that would give him a full and an exciting life. But as he drank from that cup and as he sampled the things that were available round about him, so he found no satisfaction in the first sip. We were looking at that last week and the way in which the Lord challenged the disciples, will you also go away? And the way in which Peter says, to whom shall we go? Where can we go for satisfaction? Because it is only had from our God. Here was somebody who was trying the alternatives. The first sip didn't satisfy, so he took a deeper one and a deeper one and a deeper one still. And as he kept on doing that, so he was keeping on sinking lower and lower. And he had to learn the hard way that life is not obtained through these things. He had to be emptied first. He had to discover the hollowness of the provision as well as the promises of society today. The frustration, the sheer frustration of trying to live without God. It's a lesson that is right up to date and a lesson that is required by every one of ourselves and our society today. There are so many alternatives laid out for us. There are so many things made available, but the conclusion to them all is the same. They don't fill us and they don't satisfy us. Because we've got that flaw in our approach. We mentioned again last week. We have been created by God and we've been created for Him. And our life has no rest nor satisfaction until we fulfill that primary purpose. The simple catechism, the very first question, what is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. This man, therefore, in the prodigal, life was hard for him and he was going down lower. And when he was at the bottom, with nothing left for him or to him, then he started to think, just like this psalmist tells us. Serious questions began to break into this prodigal son's mind. Very personal, very searching questions. It took a long time to get there, but he did arrive there, and he started asking questions of eternal and spiritual significance and importance. Where am I? What's my life all about? What am I achieving? Where am I going? What have I done with the privileges I've been given? Have I allowed them to be stolen away from my life, out of my mind and out of my memory? Have they all passed me by? Is there any hope left to me now? Or is this me making my bed and I've got to lie in it? Questions of a spiritual and important personal significance. Today, we dismiss that spiritual dimension to our character, and we therefore neglect a very important aspect of our life and of living. We saw it last week, the way in which there is one and only one who gives us what we really need. Today in our society, we are dismissing the spiritual side of our life. And as we continue to dismiss it, so always life will be less than satisfying. Here we have the prodigal. He was less than satisfied, and he went low and he went far, but eventually he reached the point when he started to think. We pray the Lord would make us think without having to go through that process, but sometimes that's what it takes to get our attention. Sometimes the Lord has to bring something remarkable into our life to confront us, just the same as he did with this prodigal, to make him and to make us think of our life. So that's the first thing I want us to think of here from this passage this morning. I thought on my life, on my ways. Here he is engaging in a biblical assessment. He is looking at his life, taking always the example of the prodigal son to guide us. He's looking behind the facade of life. He's looking below the surface things that people so often fix on and chase after. He's thinking not of what he's had, but what he's done. He's putting his life under the microscope, and he's not afraid anymore to look at his spiritual character, to accept the findings of God's judgment and assessment in his life. Things that perhaps he shunned and ran from with all the speed and energy that he could get. But he's come to a point now where he's prepared to think of his life. How has it been? Have I made any spiritual progress? My knowledge has grown and has been fed and increased. But to what effect? Slowly and subtly, perhaps we've all settled down into a routine, and it's going to be picked up again for the most part tomorrow morning with work schedules being resumed. It's like going on a sail or a cruise. There's all the excitement of setting out on the path of life. The same with setting out on a cruise, with getting on board and settling in. We haven't yet arrived at the distant shore where we're going to. We're just between ports. And we've got down to the routine of days at sea. We've got down to the routine of life coming and going, day, month, week, year. And yet, what does the Bible say? The harvest is past. The summer has ended. And we're not saved. Years can come and go and flow over our life. And we've got to stop and start thinking about our life. What have we done? What are we doing with the gospel and spiritual privileges God has given to us? He started to think about his life then. And how did he do that? What was it he did? We've got to judge ourselves against a standard and against a template. Whenever somebody's building a house, they've got a set of plans that they've got, they constantly consult and go back to. And it's the plans that they use to build and to compare the progress and how they're doing in this area or that. So therefore, we've got to ask ourselves the question, what template are we to use? What plan are we to use? It's not the morals of what's going on round about us today, because that changes with each generation. It's not the majority opinion of people, because that's something that's determined so often by the ballot box and changes with public opinion. It's not just simply what might work, because what might work today might not be acceptable or appropriate tomorrow. It's not political intrigue, it's not personal interest, it's not conscience, it's not consensus. What's the standard we've got to use? We've got to use something that is permanent, stable, something that is good for us. We have to use God's word. Test ourselves by God's word. It is a living, powerful influence. It's a powerful instrument. It penetrates deep inside us. It gets to where you and I are. It examines our thoughts, our motives, these deep things that no one else might know about. Attitudes that are hidden from anyone else round about us. Because God's word is light, and it gets inside our life, and it reveals what we are on the inside. So here is the psalmist, and he's taking God's word, and he's applying it to his thinking, and he is measuring up what progress he's made and where he is. That same process that we've got to engage in, thinking about our life. Very well, where are we on the spiritual spectrum? Where are we on the scale that God is looking at and looking for in us? Thinking about our life. Not the way we get on with or are getting on with society or people at work or our neighbours. Not the way we've gathered the things that people value, like houses and possessions and a healthy bank balance or pension pot. None of these things. Thinking of our life, comparing ourselves simply to what God tells us and requires of us from this book. And what is it we see when we look into this book? Again, we're given a very vivid and a very helpful illustration by James. In the book of James, in chapter 1, 23, James talks about looking into God's word. Doing exactly like this psalmist says, and he says, it's like looking into a mirror. Every one of us used a mirror before we came to church this morning, just to make sure that everything was just so and in place. And that's what James tells us we should do. We should look into a mirror to assess not the physical aspect of our life, but we are to look into the mirror of God's word and think upon our life as it reveals to us our spiritual proportions, our spiritual characteristics and their features, especially as God's word reveals to us, as a mirror does, where we are. People don't want to look into God's word today. Whenever we bring it to bear upon people or in situations or in an argument, people don't want to listen to it. They're so much dismissed of God's word in society today. We're prepared to listen to any other faith's teaching. We're prepared to take on board anything else that comes from outside our borders or our history or our culture. But to go back to Christian teachings, you can be immediately spurned and persecuted simply for doing that. People are deluding themselves. They don't want to be disturbed. They don't want to be have their boat. They don't want to have their boat rocked or to be disturbed in their conscience. They want a peace, even if it is a false peace. They don't want to be told the truth that we truly are in God's sight people with a problem. We are sinners. We've got to think about our life, about ourselves, alone with God, and looking into the mirror of His Word. We have failed God's test. And therefore there is this hallmark upon every one of us. A hallmark that tells what it is. A hallmark of sin. We are not good, even at our best. And we've got to accept that's God's judgment of us. And we've got to think. And we've got to think as never before, going into areas we've been reluctant and resisted. We've got to realize, perhaps for the first time, all is not right between me and my God. We've got to start thinking about our lives. Yes, we talk about New Year resolutions. Yes, we talk about things that we're going to do differently. Well, here's the psalmist telling us the best way to address that cultural expectation. With a boldness, we've got to take ourselves underneath God's test. Put everything about us underneath the scrutiny and judgment of God's Word. What am I? Where have I been? What have I been doing? And especially, where am I going? Where is my life taking me? There's a remarkable passage in the book of Jeremiah. I want to read just one verse. It's Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 6. And it reads as follows. I hearkened. Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? Why have they gone away? A description of our society today even. They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened, I listened, and I heard. The prophet is there listening to the voice of society in his day. And what did he pick up on? I hearkened and I heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented of his wickedness and said this, what have I done? There was not a single voice speaking of these fearful assessment. What have I done? Nobody thought on his life. We all of us have got to remember that every one of us possesses an immortal soul. A soul that will not die. That will continue to go on and live beyond death. Physical death. That's what we are, made by God. And we've got to think about our destiny of our soul. And what are we doing with the privileges God has given us now? We've got to think about our life. We've got to test the way that we live. Perhaps when we put ourselves underneath God's scrutiny, things are shown up in our lives that are wrong. What then are we going to do about it? Time is a one-way street. We cannot turn back the clock. The years have passed and we're not going to get them again. What then are we going to do when we go through this process of thinking about our life? We see and we come to the conclusion that life is crumbling about us. We talk about today, especially in economic terms, we talk about plastic melting. We're all talking, of course, about the credit card and the way in which there's so much strain and pressure put on it. It just melts. That means it's useless. Well, what about our life? It can do the same thing. The plastic of our life can melt. Testing, thinking, brings ourselves underneath God's judgment. We can look back. We can look back and see God's dealings with us and providence. We can see God's way of dealing with us this past year that has just closed. Or even on a bright, on a wider scope and scheme, we can see God's dealings with us over many years. Test what we've done then. Think about our life. What's the effect of these blessings of God's patience and God's providence in dealing with us? How often God has spoken to us. We've been gathered in a service just like this. Perhaps something special has come upon our soul, and we've been aware that God is speaking to us, you and Him alone. The crowd, the family, everyone else has been forgotten about, but you're suddenly aware that it's just you alone with God. Think on your life. I bring memory to my help and aid now. I call upon that memory of these events. And I ask the question, as you think upon and as you test your life, what did you do with that blessing in times past? What has been the effect of it now upon your life? Has there been any effect of it? Or has it just gone off you like water off a duck's back? The impressions that you've got from others. The impressions that God has brought to bear upon your life, not only from His Word, but from Christian example. The death of a Christian, the reading of a Christian book, even just simply listening to and involved in a Christian conversation. Think about your life. Think upon what lasts. As we go through life and as we test more and more of what's available to us, we begin to see things in proper perspective and proportion. As life goes on, we begin to see things that just don't last. Things that will disappoint us, let us down. Things that, when we lean on them, will disappoint us and drop us to the ground. We need to take time out. To take time out for stock taking. It's the old fashioned term that was used in most businesses in times gone past. Where you take stock of where you are, what you've got, and where you're going. Think on life. Check up what you've got. Test the deep currents of your life. Not the surface things, the facade that is up there for public scrutiny and acceptance by others round about us. No, something far more influential, far-reaching than that. We've got perhaps several seasons now where we're likely to get a proper winter weather and conditions. And the thing that influences our weather is the Gulf Stream. Deep rivers, streams of water in the oceans. Very well. Stop and think about your life. And look at the deep streams in your life. Look at not the facade or the surface, but take time to go deep down. And think of spiritual status, spiritual standing, spiritual destination, spiritual judgment under the assessment of God. He thought upon his life. But also, what else did he do? We're told he turned his feet to the testimonies of God. He turned his feet to the testimonies of God. You can turn your head and your feet can still be going in one direction. You can show things with your hand and your feet can still be going in one direction. But once you turn your feet, you've changed the direction you're going in. And that's what the psalmist is speaking about. He's not talking about tinkering with the system of his life. He's not talking about something little, minor and possibly insignificant that's got to be put right here or there. What he's doing is a comprehensive, fundamental reorientation of his life. He's doing and thinking of a complete about face. He's turning himself to his God. God has been at work in his life. He's been engaged in a process of thinking. He's come to see spiritual truths and spiritual realities. And now he's turned away from the old ways. The things that he once loved, he now shuns. He's turned about underneath the influence of God's Spirit. One time, this person that we're talking about and thinking about and praying that it would be ourselves. One time, this person thought of eternity. Eternity was something other people thought about. Eternity was something in the distant. Eternity was something that he didn't want to get into his life because it disturbed him. But now, having turned to think of and to seek after God, eternity is something he thinks more of and wants to prepare for. Earthly things. Things that were so vital and on offer round about him. The things that he delighted in and chased after and gave his life to obtain. These things have now slipped into second, third, or even into last place. Especially the Lord Jesus Christ. The one that was spoken about, but he didn't have any delight in Jesus. Whenever Jesus was spoken about, it didn't touch his soul or captivate his thinking. The Lord Jesus Christ had no effect upon him when he was spoken of or his work was portrayed in words or in symbols. The Lord Jesus was a distant person who could be easily dismissed from his life. That was one way a long time ago. But now he's thought on his life as God has brought him low. As God has taught him. As God has opened to him spiritual teaching and brought to bear spiritual realities. Now he's turned his feet and he is seeking after those things that once were indifferent, but now are important to him. He's turned his feet to the testimonies of his God. He's turned his feet to God's word and to God's provision. We have New Year resolutions. We hear of people's lies, well, I'm going to stop this, I'm going to do that, and such like. But what we need is this biblical and complete and a spiritual reassessment of our life. To build our hope, not upon what we have or what we're doing, but to build our hope upon God's word. And to do it as he tells us in verse 6. In verse 60, I made haste. The issues that are involved are urgent and important and need to be addressed now. We cannot put them off or delay them or defer them until a later date. There's nothing half-hearted. There must be nothing half-hearted about us now. We talk about a convenient season. Well, Felix, when Paul preached to him, he put things off and he says, I'll hear you later. And sometimes we have that attitude with what God is saying to us. We say to God, yes, I'll hear you later about my soul, about these things that you're telling me and speaking of to me. But I've got to get on with the rest of my life, and there's this I've got to achieve, and this is what I've got to do, and this is what I've got to attend to tomorrow. And that convenient season never comes, because there's always something else that gets in front of these spiritual important issues. And God is holding that mirror up. And God is speaking to us, and he is saying, today is the day of salvation. There is an urgency and there is an importance that we must not lose sight of. Today, if we hear the gospel, don't let your heart be hardened, but address it. Listen to it. Listen to what God is saying. He is calling us to himself. Therefore, turn our feet and turn to God, and to God's word, and especially to God's Son. There in God's word and the gift of his Son, we will find what we've been looking for, what we've missed out on all these days in the past. God's word meets, and God's Son meets, the needs of my soul. We are told later on in this very psalm, in verse 165, we are told, great peace have they who love thy law. There's a tranquility and a serenity and a peace given to the Christian. When we assess our life, when we test where we are and what we've got and where we're going, when we turn our feet to God's word. So often people today say, to be a Christian, you're losing out on so much. You're narrowing down your options and you're limiting your choices, and you're going to be so poor and poverty stricken. That's the picture that people paint of Christian life and living today. And they don't know even a portion of it. Because the greatest gift the Christian has is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And life lived around him. Life lived standing on what he has done. Life lived seeking to serve him and to worship him. Life now, with that kind of purpose and foundation, is life in a richness, a fullness, a satisfaction we've never known before, but also a life with great peace and tranquility and sincerity. He has removed the guilt that disturbed my soul. He has taken the ruins of my life and built it again. He is the one that gives me hope when I think of meeting God in his holiness and in his justice. Jesus Christ is the one who clothes me and covers me in his righteousness that fits me to meet God, and to meet God with peace in my soul. Great peace have they who love thy law. And notice what it says, and there is nothing that will make them stumble. What a fearful thing it is, right at the very end of a marathon. We've seen it perhaps in other times. People just simply have been keeping going and pushing on, and they see the finishing line coming up, and they just simply stumble at the last minute. They cannot get across that line. Is that going to be the outcome for the Christian? Is that what's going to happen to the Christian believer at the end of life? No, we're told. He has great peace, and specifically it's told, he will not stumble. She will not stumble. God is the one who will keep us safe, and he is the one who will bring us home. Here is a psalmist giving us his New Year resolution, giving us something that we should meditate upon as a society, as individuals, to think on our ways, to get our feet right by walking in God's way, living as he would have us live, living, trusting and relying upon his Son. Yes, going back to the prodigal son, he went through a painful phase, he went through a painful process of discovery, a hard time bringing him to the point where he thought about his life. And it may be that that's what the Lord will have to do for you or me, to bring us to the place of discovery, to discover our problem, and to start to put it right by seeking him for ourselves. But at the end of that process, the Lord brings us into and through. There is this great privilege, inheritance provided at great cost by his Son, but freely available to us all. There is this blessing, the gift of peace, bought by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, where he gave his life to address the biggest problem that we ever will have. How can I be right with God? And we've got to ask ourselves the question this morning, am I right with God? We've got to think on our ways, on our life. And if we are not right with God, the only way we can be is to turn to him, not with hands only or head only, but to turn to him with our whole life, with our feet. Trust him and commit our soul to him. For there and there alone is the gift of pardon, forgiveness, fullness that we so desperately need. Let us now pray. Our gracious Lord and God, we bless thy name for the way in which thou dost speak to us through thy word and through the life of thy people gone before us, and give to us that boldness, give to us that ability to bring our lives underneath the scrutiny of thine own word, to listen to what thou hast to say to us. And may we heed that message. And if we are there to discover that we are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, in thy grace and in thy patience, deal with us, bringing us to that point of commitment to the one who alone has that which we need: pardon, forgiveness, and acceptance with thyself. Lord, we cast ourselves on thy mercy, and we pray that thou wouldst deal with us with thy favor and thy love. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We close this morning then by singing Psalm 119 and at verse 57. Psalm 119 at 57. Thou my sure portion art alone, which I did choose, O Lord. I have resolved and said that I would keep thy holy word. With my whole heart I did entreat thy face and favour free. According to thy gracious word, be merciful to me. I thought upon my former ways and did my life well try. And to thy testimonies pure my feet then turned I. I did not stay nor linger long as those that slothful are. But hastily thy laws to keep, myself I did prepare. These four stanzas from Psalm 119 at 57 through to 60. Thou my sure portion art alone. And now may grace, mercy and peace from God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.